Human Resources and Employment Law Advice on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with the HR Suite, now part of NFP, providing brokering expertise in commercial insurance, employee benefits, HR and health and safety.
Yes, indeed, the HR slot with Caroline Reedy of the HR Suite, now part of NFP HR Solutions, which is an Aon company. Caroline, good morning to you and thanks for joining us again this month.
A pleasure as always, Jerry. How are you?
Very good. We'll just jump into a number of different issues here, Caroline, because there's been a lot of changes that there are, and the changes seem to be coming faster and faster and having a bigger impact. One of those changes, and it's starting to kind of just bed in now, is the auto enrollment pension situation. Hundreds of thousands of employees having pensions for the first time. If anyone is wondering what do they need to do to find out more, they go to their employer, I take it, say, look, what is this line? If they haven't been paying attention, what is this extra payment I'm making in my salary?
Absolutely. So from the 1st of January, all employees now are part of My Future Fund, which is the new pension auto enrolment scheme. So we're one of the few European countries that doesn't have a pension scheme. And as we know, people are living longer, people are working longer, but ultimately having a retirement fund available, we need to, I suppose, start putting money ourselves into those type of schemes. This one is being topped up by your employer and by the government, and you have a contribution as well. So there's about 800,000 people, Jerry, that are part of this. But for a lot of employers listening this morning, they're also going to be saying, well, we have our own company pension scheme. So if you have a company scheme, you're exempt from auto enrolment. So this only applies. This is like the basic minimum requirement in organisations. Many companies out there will have more than this, but it's a really good starting point. It is envisaged that there's going to be incremental increases over the next 10-year period in the pension auto enrolment. So we'll keep people updated in relation to what those increases will be. But as of now, every employee should be automatically opted into a pension scheme. They have an option to opt out at different stages, but ultimately the numbers from the UK tell us very few people actually opt out after all that.
Yeah, the whole idea here is this is meant to prompt you into maybe taking more control, not to be passive, to say, right, I'm paying a pension now, I'm forced to pay a pension, but maybe I need to adjust it to make a better one for myself and start thinking about the years down the line and what I'll have when I finish working.
Yeah, I suppose the idea is there isn't enough money in the kitty. And what I think it'll do as well is it'll make people more conscious that maybe if they're changing jobs or if they're thinking about their future, they may say, well, I wonder, is there a better company pension scheme available in a competitor? And that would be obviously a big attraction to go work there, because people are, you know, realizing that the pension pot you have is actually a really important benefit. And we've seen over the last number of years, Jerry, that people, you know, really value the benefits that they get. Like most employers now provide some form of health insurance. It's not a statutory obligation. It's a completely voluntary option for employers to do that. But to be competitive, you know, particularly in the last number of years, we see clients, those in hospitality, retail, etc., that maybe typically were not necessarily as focused on pensions or on health insurance benefits for employees. That's much more coming part of the overall salary package now.
Yeah. Caroline, in a wider sense, there's increasing discussion, and we're seeing it in some of the opinion pieces on the future of employment, some of the reporting online as well, that major companies are now, and we're seeing a couple of job cuts from major companies such as Amazon over the last while, reports out that 4 in 10 employees fear entry-level roles will disappear in the next 5 years as companies increase the spending on technology and AI and reduce the spending on taking on people. Is this a worry, firstly, for graduates?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is, we've just mentioned there are two new schemes that are now introduced. You know, we've the sick pay scheme, we've pension auto enrolment, we've national minimum wage. there's a lot of costs, I suppose, in businesses now just to open your door, no matter what type of business yeah. that you are. So for employers, looking at anything that improves efficiency is something that I suppose organisations are really focused on, especially now when you can introduce automation or AI in a very cost-effective way. So we're seeing jobs like, for example, entry-level accounts, jobs like, call centres, those initial jobs that maybe were very typically done by entry-level graduates or by, people in organisations, that now are being replaced by AI and automation. And as a consequence, the organisations are saying we need less people overall, and the people that we need to be now really AI literate, because we want them to use the AI tools to be efficient, and we want them to be doing more roles like checking and, doing the quality assurance and the human touch piece. So roles are definitely evolving and changing. And I think it's really, you're spot on, Gerry, when you mentioned it's the pace that that's happening at. Like previously, things would be happening and we'd know about it a year in advance and it should be well planned yeah. and all the rest of it. Now there's new developments in automation and AI happening every day. And, we've seen even in the public service now where they've said Copilot is one of the learning management tools that they allow people to have access to. So that AI is part of all of the different types of jobs out there. And the idea is to make your work more efficient so you can be doing more high value work. But as we rightly said, that ultimately means potentially less entry level jobs as a consequence.
Okay, Caroline, on pensions, we're getting queries in here from listeners. Morning, Caroline. I'm turning 65 years of age in a couple of months. I've applied to my manager to remain in my position. It's a clerical position for a further 12 months. Others in my position or similar have been granted 12 months. They've responded but are offering me only 6 months with no valid reason for not granting the 12. What's your advice?
Well, it's actually a requirement. We had legislation that came in last year that says you can't be asked to retire earlier than the pension age in Ireland. So as we know, the pension age is 66. So contractually, the employee at minimum can stay until they're 66, and then they can request to stay longer. And legally, the person, has to get a reason from her employer. It's to say, objectively justified reasons as to why they can't stay on in their role. And that can be, to do with maybe intergenerational fairness, that people can't get promoted, etc. But your listener has said this is a clerical role. So once the person can still do the job to the required standard, it's quite difficult to find an objectively justified ground why you'd force this person to retire. And one of the key equality grounds is that of age. And, forcing somebody to retire is something you can't do lightly. So really good question there. And hopefully it's relevant to some of your other listeners as well. So retirement, definitely tread carefully if you are in that situation.
Okay, a listener asks on the auto enrolment pension, when a person joins the pension from 1st of January, will they be taxed 41% in it when they're drawing down on it or drawing it down? Now, I know there's a 25% tax-free lump sum with the remainder taxed as income.
Yeah,
so it depends on your income, I'd imagine.
Exactly. It's going to be completely down to that scenario when you're coming to the end. And pension is the most tax efficient potential saving that you can do. So there's My Future Fund, that they have a query centre that you can basically get data and information on to, any queries specific to your, tax situation, what you're paying, what you're earning, etc., depending on how much you're going to have in the scheme. So I would say any of those individual scenarios, as you rightly said, it's going to depend on the person's income tax scenario, etc. But ultimately, this is a very tax efficient way for somebody to save for their retirement. So definitely tax is a very positive addition to this scheme.
Okay, and that is the situation. A listener asked, look, I'm over 60. How do I join the auto enrollment scheme? I think there is an opt in to the scheme if you're over 60. So you're not automatically put in. I could be wrong about that. I think it's age 23 to 60 is the two ages. So over, you have to request to join.
You are spot on. We've often said, Jerry, you are becoming closer to a HR guru every day. So we'll take that. But yeah, no. So the employee can, again, contact My Future Fund, let their employer know that they basically want to opt in and go about it. Because, look, as we said, this is the initial stages of the scheme to see, you know, to encourage people to try and have a pension scheme, etc. Because, as we all know, you know, people are living longer, as we said, and everything is getting a bit more expensive. So having your fund at the end is important to people.
Yeah. Okay. Quick question for Caroline. What does one do if told by a work colleague that your perfume is having an effect on other work colleagues? Now, we don't know if this is a manager saying it to a junior, a person more junior to them, or if it's just a co-worker saying it. But what is the issue there, Caroline? Could there be a potential issue in terms of, I don't know, harassment, or are they allowed to complain on that level? How does it work?
Yeah, I suppose. I think, you know, the way sometimes when you get kind of like just the initial elements of the story, you'd love to talk to that person and ask them four or five more questions to really understand what's going on, because the majority of the time somebody's perfume won't be the actual crux of the issue, you know, unless it's completely overpowering altogether. And even at that, you know, unless the person is sitting right next to the other person, it's really not going to have an impact. Oftentimes people would say it's the perfume, or they would say it's the fact she didn't offer to make me a cup of tea when she was making one for herself. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back and became the catalyst for the person raising the issue. But generally, there's a lot more issues underneath the iceberg. So I think in this scenario, I always believe try nip issues in the bud where that is practical to do so. And hopefully that'll remedy itself in a very positive way rather than escalating to something more.
Just a colleague is what we're being told, and not a manager. So it's someone on the same level as them. So that would change the scenario there. Okay, Carolyn, we're out of time, unfortunately. My thanks to you. We'll get to the queries we didn't get to this month, next month. But thanks for answering all the questions for us again.
A pleasure. Thanks, Jerry.
That's great stuff. That's Carolyn Reedy there with us on the line. Keep your queries coming in. We'll pass them on to her in advance of next month as well, when she'll be on with us.